This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I was really happy when I got this topic because I think it's something that everybody can relate to. And I prefer to speak about things that we can all relate to. The fact is that all of us are on a journey together. We're all on the same journey, in fact. And while each of us come from different backgrounds, we have different experiences, but every single human being is on this same life journey. And that journey is a journey where we began with Allah and we're returning back to Allah. What happens, what is the statement that we say when a calamity befalls us? Inna لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ means that we belong to Allah. We started with Allah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ And every single person and every single thing is returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a journey. Every single one of us right now who are in this room are at the part of the journey called dunya. And so there, throughout time, every single person who's gone through that part of the journey is going to go through similar experiences. There's going to be, you know, that's the thing about the human experience, is that there are similarities. That's why a person from a completely different background can pick up, you know, for example, Reclaim Your Heart, which it happens to be my book. And it's also available outside. No, but seriously, non-Muslims, people who have a completely different background can pick it up and then can say that they related to something in it. And the reason why is that I'm talking about a human experience. And what I'm doing is, and what I'm trying to do is, and what we all are trying to do, is give meaning to that experience. But essentially, it's a shared experience. It's a human experience. And one of those shared human experiences is this concept of hardship and this concept of pain and the concept of loss. And so the idea the formula for being able to weather storms is a formula that everyone can relate to. And it's a formula that everyone needs to understand. Because at the end of the day, no matter where you live, right? So at the moment I live in Southern California. Now, a lot of times people say, if I tell people I live in Southern California or I moved to Southern California, they think like they want to like high five me, right? Had that high five, it's not, you know. Anyway, so but they have trouble understanding. Well, okay, actually, for me, it was very hard to move to California because I had to leave Raleigh, which is a giant forest. But the idea is that even in the place where you might go for vacation, the place where you might think is the, you know, it's the paradise on earth, right? Which in my opinion is New Zealand. But the idea is that even in those places, right? Even no matter where you go, no matter how beautiful it is, you still have weather. You still have natural disasters. And California has its earthquakes. And then you go to the Midwest and they have their tornadoes. And then you go somewhere else and you have the East Coast and they have their hurricanes, etc. The idea is that no matter how perfect the place is, right? No matter how nice you can vacation there, there's always going to be weather, right? And you can't control the weather. You can't control the rain. No matter how much money you have, no matter how much power you have, no matter how much fame you have, you can't control when and how much it rains. Nobody can, right? No, not the most powerful king or the most powerful president can control something as tiny as when and how much it rains, right? So the weather is something we can't control. Now, can we say that it will never rain? Well, no, I don't see it at all. So, obviously, you know that you can't say it will never rain. Is it really true 9 months out of the year? Or something?
Yeah. Okay. Overcast.
So I've heard that it doesn't rain hard, but it rains like drizzles a lot, right? So you can never say that in this place, you know, I'm going to live here on my street, I just never want it to rain. You do not have that control and it will never happen. Weather will always come. So then what do you do about it? That's the question. You have to have a strategy, right? Because you can't control the weather, but what can you do? Anyone? You can control a couple things. Number one, what you wear. So you get cold, you get rain, you get snow. Do y'all get snow?
Sometimes.
Okay. I grew up in Wisconsin. We got a lot of snow. So snow, right? It gets cold. Sometimes it was -0. It was below zero. I can't control the cold. I can't control the rain. I can't control the snow. But what I can control is what I wear. I can put on a coat. I can put on gloves. I can put on a hat. I can be in shelter. So what I can do when it's raining is I can have an umbrella, I can have a rain jacket, and I can be under a roof. What am I saying? What I'm saying is that things are going to happen in life. Hardships are going to happen. Storms are going to happen. Sometimes they're going to be like wipe you down tsunamis, right? Yes? Anyone lived here long enough to know this, right? Everyone in this room has. So the idea is that weather is going to happen. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys this at the beginning of the talk. So the only request I have as the speaker up here, is the person talking to you up here, is for you to have facial expressions. You get what I'm saying? Okay. So just don't do this. Because then I have no idea if you get me. So just, all I ask is be Egyptian for a second. We are very animated. If you just watch me or my sister, like if anyone is taking pictures, we always look crazy. But yeah, we're very animated. But anyways, so have facial expression because then I know you got me. All right. So weather happens, and sometimes it's very severe weather. I can't control that, but what I can control is where I'm at when the weather comes. You know, with a tornado, for example, you cannot control where a tornado goes, you cannot control what a tornado does, but the only thing you can do is you can be in shelter. And as long as you go, with regards to a tornado, it's about getting underground, it's about getting low, right? That's why we have to have basements in the Midwest, etc. Because you have to have a place to go when the tornado comes. Now, as long as you are in shelter, then you won't be destroyed by the storm. So the question becomes, am I in shelter when the storm comes? Do I have provision? Do I have protection when the storm comes? You know the three little pigs, right? Yeah? Yeah. See, it's those no faith. Y'all know the three little pigs, right? Okay, good. All right. This isn't like a tech school, right? I'm just kidding. I have this thing, like, I notice that when I speak to, like, I don't know, one time I was like, I won't name names, but sometimes engineering schools, like, no expression, but yeah, anyway, you guys are better. I'm done. So the three little pigs is a story of what? It's about three little pigs who have different type of shelter, right? They've put in different type of effort into building their homes. I'm seeing some blank faces. Did you guys read this when you were little?
Yes.
Good. This is a very important story, almost as important as Frozen. But anyways, we'll talk about Frozen later, maybe. The three little pigs. So you have the one pig that made his house out of like sticks or straw, remind me. Okay. And then the other one, it was out of sticks. And then the third one was out of bricks. All right. So what am I talking about here? What I'm saying here is that we each have different type of shelter. And now, what's going to happen in our life is we're going to be faced with the big bad wolf. Who's the big bad wolf? Well, it's all different versions. Trump is one of them, yes. But there are lots of different forms of big bad wolf. What is that? It's the trials that we face in life. And these are all kinds of trials. Financial trials, emotional trials, relationship trials, political trials, health trials. That it's going to huff and puff and try to blow your house down, right? But the question's going to be, how strong is your shelter? Because you can't control the big bad wolf. He's going to come, and he's going to do what he does. And by the way, obviously Shaitan is also in there. And Shaitan doesn't have anything else to do. Nothing else to do. Can you imagine someone's got nothing else to do? Like you and I, we got so many different things we're concerned about, right? I mean, Instagram and Facebook. I mean, there's so much, right? Our jobs, our fashion, our money. We've got so many different various pursuits. Yeah?
Yes.
Shaitan's just got one. Can you know what you're up against? You're up against someone with ikhlas. What's ikhlas? I mean, really, no, it's a singular focus. And his singular focus is to take you to hell. I mean, simple as that. Simply put, is to do whatever he needs to do to take you to hell. I mean, that was what he very clearly stated at the beginning, before we were all brought here, that's his goal. So he's only got one thing to do, and he doesn't take time off. He doesn't take time off. And he's got armies working with him. All right? So the idea is, unless we become more serious about our shelter and about our own focus, we get destroyed. Our house gets destroyed, and then we get destroyed. Now the question becomes, well, how do we build this shelter? What is that shelter? And how can I build a shelter that's made out of bricks? So that when this wind comes, because it's not about if it will come, it's about when and how it comes, because for sure it will come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this again and again in the Quran, right? And just living in life, even if you never read the Quran, you know this. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. So first you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us definitely you'll be tested. And how will you be tested? You'll be tested with something of fear. So first, Allah is telling us what to expect in this life. You know, like, if you have a kid and it's their first day at school, so it's like kindergarten. So what you're going to do if you really care about that kid is you're going to prepare that child for what they're going to face. All right, you're going to have to do this. Then you're going to have to, and you might face a bully, and you might, and this might, and so you're preparing that child. Why? Out of mercy. Out of mercy, you're preparing that child for what they're going to face. Why? So that they don't get harmed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful than even the most merciful mother is to her child. And Allah is preparing us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, that surely we will test you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. So you are going to be tested of something of fear and hunger and loss. So fear, we understand. We live in a world where it's like, so many reasons to be afraid. So many reasons to be anxious. And that's part of life. It's like you can't go through your life never feeling fear. It's part of dunya. And part of akhirah, or rather part of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Jannah, is what? Anyone? La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. That there is no fear on them, nor shall they grieve. So one of the rewards repeated again and again about Jannah is that there's no fear and there's no grief, there's no sorrow. Fear and sorrow. If you look at what is the most common, like in terms of mental disorders, or in terms of the types of struggles that we deal with psychologically, you'll find that the majority of them fall into one of two categories: anxiety disorders and depressive disorders. This is what plagues us in this life. Generally, it's fear and sadness. And it's those two things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is none in Jannah, inshallah. So here we are told that in this life we will be tested with something of fear and hunger. Now hunger, we can understand it as the obvious meaning of not having enough food, right? But if you look at hunger in a more general sense, right, you can basically hunger for things. Any kind of hunger essentially is to need something or desire or want something that you don't have or don't have enough of. So yes, people can have hunger for acceptance, hunger for respect, hunger for love, these things which there's a shortage of. So that person remains hungry. So there's different kinds of hunger that we will face in this life. And then nafs. The loss. Loss of what? Loss of wealth. Loss of people. anfus, the people in our lives, and then loss of the fruits of our toil. So we put in effort sometimes in life. Have you guys ever studied really, really hard for an exam and did very, very badly? Has it ever happened?
Yeah.
Yes?
Never.
Never? Never. Well, you're the exception.
I know
you really are. So it's happened to us where we put in effort, right? And we see nuts, we see this loss in samarat. Now, thamarat literally is like it's the fruits of your toil. So you can have a farmer can have thamarat, right? But you don't have to be a farmer to relate to this ayah. Because this is any kind of effort that you put in, and you expect a certain result, that's the fruits of your toil. Now, do you always get it? Absolutely not, right? You guys know this from experience. Sometimes you try really hard at something, and it doesn't work out. You tried studying, you didn't do well. You tried for a job, you didn't get the job. You tried for a specific marriage, it didn't work out, etc. So there's a lot of times when you put in effort into something and it doesn't work. This is part of the tests of dunya, is that you have loss in results. You know, sometimes you plan an event. Those of you who are Islamic workers, you plan an event. Then, you know, nobody shows up, or it, you know, there's no volunteers, or whatever. You don't get the result that you wanted, even though you put in a lot of effort. This is, again, part of the tests of dunya. Now, after saying all of this, now we know that this is going to happen. We've been told ahead of time. After saying all of this, Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to the patient ones, to الصَّابِرِينَ. First of all, I want to point out that it's unusual to go to someone who has just had a calamity, or has just lost something, or who is hungry, or what did we talk about? We talked about fear, we talked about loss, we talked about hunger, and then to go up to them and be like, congratulations, you know, right? Like someone just lost their home, or just lost their job, and you go up to them and say, good news. Like, you don't usually do that, right? You usually give bushra to someone who just had a baby, or someone who just got married, you know, someone who just got married, someone who had a baby, someone who just bought a house. But when someone has a calamity, you don't go up to them and usually say congratulations or good news to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. He's giving glad tidings to these people. People who have gone through these storms. But who? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? What is it that makes Allah say وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ? What is so powerful and special about having sabr in these calamities or in these storms that would make Allah say, give us glad tidings, give those people glad tidings? First, who are those people? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَجَعُونَ. Those people who, when a calamity strikes them, they respond with, indeed, we belong to Allah, and to Allah we return. This statement is, it's a way of seeing the world. It's a way of responding to the world. Because you understand that Allah owns everything, and you understand that everything is returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَجَعُونَ isn't just a statement of the tongue. But it's actually a way to see the world and a way to respond to the world. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَجَعُونَ. When people respond in this way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them what their reward is. And those people have a reward that you can't buy with everything under the heavens or the earth. And that reward that Allah gives after that is His mercy, His blessings, and His guidance. Now the question becomes, how do we build this shelter? So we agree that we need the shelter, but the question now becomes how? When a storm hits, there are different ways to respond. When you're faced with a calamity, there are different ways to respond. Now I'm just going to talk briefly about the different ways to respond and talk about the wrong ways to respond, the good ways to respond and the best ways to respond. First of all, one of the biggest mistakes that we make when we face a storm is actually a response even very practicing people will have. Even a response a believer might have. And that is the response of toughening up. You know what I'm talking about? So the storm is coming, and you say, okay, I know that I'm being tested because Allah told me I'm going to be tested. I read it in the Quran. I know. I learned it in Sunday school. I know I'm being tested. But the problem is the response to the test sometimes is wrong. Sometimes the response to the test is to actually toughen up, to harden up, and to say, I got this. Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yes. I got this. You know this attitude of sort of, I don't know, the Rocky attitude maybe? It's like, I'm so tough, right? I can handle anything. This, by the way, is very, very dangerous to have that attitude. I'm tough, my iman is so strong, I can handle anything. So it's kind of like, sometimes these people, their response is, I got this, bring it on. I got this, bring it on. Why is that so dangerous? Well, number one, you don't got nothing. You, me, all of us don't got nothing. Do you know what la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means? Anybody? La hawla means there's no change in state. Wa la quwwa is strength. Strength or power. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means that there's changes and there is no strength or power illa billah except by Allah. Meaning equals I don't got nothing. I can't take the storm. I can't handle anything, in fact. And that all power and all strength is only from Allah. So the subtle mistake that we make is that instead of depending on Allah and turning to Allah and saying, Ya Allah, I don't got this. Ya Allah, help me. Instead we say, I got this, and we depend on ourselves. Is that making sense? We depend on me. We think, my iman is going to get me through this. My strength is going to get me through this. I face a problem, my mind is going to figure it out. Right? I'm going to figure out the solution. If I just stay up, right? If I just stay up enough nights, I'm going to figure out a way out of this. Who's going to figure it out? Me. Who's going to figure it out? Me. Me. I got this. This is the wrong answer. This is the wrong answer to the test. When we say that Allah tests us, a lot of times we don't understand what does that even mean. One of the purposes of the test, see, and I know why we're like this, right? Because you see in school, when you're tested by a professor, are you allowed to raise your hand and say, yo, professor, I have no idea what I'm doing, can you help me? Because I'm going to fail this without your help. Are you allowed to do that? That's called cheating. Yeah? So we think Allah is like the professor. Is this making sense? He's testing us and we think we're not allowed to raise our hands and ask for help. We got to do it ourselves. We got to figure it out. I got to figure this out. It's all on me. It's all on me to figure it out. It's all on me to find the solution. It's all on me to carry it. And then I put it all on me to actually solve everyone else's problems too. Not only my own. Everything's on me. And we wonder why we can't sleep at night. Yeah? We wonder why we have to take something so we can sleep. We wonder why we have anxiety that doesn't go. We wonder why we have trouble breathing, maybe. Right? Panic attacks. The idea here is that I am actually taking upon myself something that I was never supposed to take upon myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tests so that we raise our hand and ask for help. That's actually one of the purposes of the test. You're supposed to say, Ya Allah, I need your help. Ya Allah, I don't got this. Ya Allah, أني مغلوب فانتصر. أني مغلوب فانتصر. Who said that? Nuh alayhi salam. He was a prophet. He said, I am defeated, I am overtaken, so give me victory. This was the response of prophets. Don't think for a second that having strong iman means that you got this and you're depending on yourself. They were the greatest of all human beings. They had the strongest iman. Our iman does not compare to their iman. And when you see them in their hardships, they never claimed that they got this. They always claimed the opposite. Every single one. Even Yusuf alayhi salam. You know what's very interesting about Yusuf alayhi salam, his story? Sometimes we don't notice this. But when he resisted the temptation of the woman who was trying to tempt him, he didn't say that I resisted it because I'm so holy. He didn't say I resisted it because I'm so righteous. He said, had it not been for my Lord, I would have given in. That's actually what he said. You see what that is? That is realizing that everything comes from Allah. That the strength to get up and pray Fajr is not because you're awesome. I'm sorry to say. It isn't. It's not because you're awesomer than the person across the street. It's simply because Allah has gifted you. That's why you're able to get up and pray. And so this idea, the arrogance that comes in us when we're able to do something, is a deception. Because our ability to do absolutely anything is only by Allah. It's not by ourselves. And so the right answer when you're in a storm is not to toughen up, but it's to soften. It's the opposite of what a lot of us think. The right answer is to soften, is to humble, is to raise your hand and say, I don't got this, I have no idea what I'm doing, and I need your help. أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. That I am overtaken, so give me victory. When Adam alayhi salam slipped, his response was humility. His response was to seek forgiveness. Right? And his response was completely opposite of Iblis. And so what we have to do is, to build that shelter, we have to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to be in a place where we, when the weather is good, work on getting close to Allah. When things are easy, and this becomes the test of ease, isn't it? Because the test of ease is that's when we're, you know, it's like the pig that wanted to play, didn't want to build, because there was no big bad wolf at that point. So he didn't want to put in the effort. But what we have to realize is that this effort needs to be consistent. While the sun is out, we're working on building the shelter. And that shelter is in our nearness to Allah. Our relationship with Allah. Our spiritual work. Which I'm sure you had lots of lectures about. But that spiritual work needs to happen when the weather is good. When things are easy. When things are going the way you want. That's when you need to be building that home. And that way, when the weather comes, when the storm hits, you will be inside of a strong shelter. It doesn't destroy you. It doesn't destroy you like if you had no shelter. Alright. So, remembering that when you get struck with a calamity, immediately, as soon as you possibly can, humble yourself. Turn to Allah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance. Because here's what you have to keep in mind. If the purpose of a storm is to make me go to shelter, is to make me humble myself, is to make me rely on Allah, and the storm comes and I'm not doing it, I'm still saying I got this, and I'm trying to stand up straight, I'm trying to harden up, well, what's going to make me humble myself? More storm. And sometimes this is what happens when we don't have the proper response. When I'm not humbling myself, when I'm not relying on Allah, the hardship gets harder. The burden gets heavier. And this is out of mercy. The reason why is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like, okay, well, we didn't get it. You know? We're not getting it. We're still relying on me. I still think I got this. Well, sometimes it takes so much because we're stubborn and a little slow sometimes. And so it takes so much for me to finally say, I don't got this. Ya Allah, I'm done. But why does it have to take so much? We should go sooner. We should go easier. It's like there's two ways to go to Allah. You can go walking, or you can go on your face. You can go crawling on your face, right? Or dragged. But why not go walking? So don't wait until you know it just keeps getting more and more to realize that we need to humble ourselves and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and depend on Him. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ إِنَّا وَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ بِحَمْدَكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.